I like beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.
I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to I Like Beer, the podcast where we discuss great beers and the stories that go with them. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your host, Jeff. And we are in Austin.
We made it.
Pine House Brewing.
Doctor's here.
A doc's here.
Tom's here.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
And all this Sierra Nevada gear, yeah. I see made it to Austin.
It did.
We're friends who love good beer and telling stories, so we turned it into a podcast.
And again, like I said before, we're on location field trip. Actually, a big field trip because we had to fly to this field trip. So, but it's been a lot of fun, and we're at, I would say, my favorite brewery in Austin in terms of the in Austin area.
And mine too.
I know we're not supposed to say that, favorites, what I was told earlier, but everyone knows we all have favorites. We have our favorite kids. We have our favorite this. This is my favorite brewery in Austin.
Hey, we're teachers by day, beer drinkers by night, lucky enough to live in North County, San Diego. That doesn't mean we don't get out and visit other beer meccas. So please pour yourself a beer, pull up a bar stool, and join us.
Hey, y'all. I really like beer, and you should buy me a beer. So you go to ilikebeerthepodcast.com. and click on Buy Me a Beer. Thanks.
That's Buy Me a Beer. Click the link on the website. When you do, you support our podcast. You help us keep doing that. I like beerthepodcast.com. Check it out. And swag there. And pictures from our Texas trip.
So check it out. A lot of pictures from our Texas trip.
We're here with Jacob Passy, Tom Fisher of Pine House Brewing. And we've been lucky enough to run into Pine House in our hometown in Carlsbad.
At Bergen.
Yeah. Well, Jacob and Tom, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks
for being here.
Absolutely. What a great time we had in Carlsbad, too.
Bergen
was
right.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was talking to Joe over there.
And Yeah. It was a riot, for sure. Yeah. Rain be damned, you know?
That's right. We got stuck in a good, great place. Your tent at Bergen.
Worst places to be, absolutely, right. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, I was saying, because I've been here multiple times, obviously, even before that. I think it was last year about Bergen, and I'm like, I know that logo. What is that logo? And then it's like, oh my God, that's Pine House. What are they doing here? So it's cool. And I know you guys connected up. So we set up this opportunity. We've already been on a really cool tour of the facilities. And
yeah, thanks.
You learned a lot. Yeah, Jacob, a lot of the background of the story. So right. How do you want to start this off?
I want to hear the Pine House story.
Yeah, so if you guys want to clue us in a little bit on the Pine House story.
Man, Jacob's going to get it with that one.
He's
been here longer than I have.
Pine House story. I don't know how much you guys want. I think I probably blabbed enough of this over the last hour, but
well, you know what? None of that was recorded.
Yeah, do it one more time.
Here we go again. Pine House was started basically by six friends in 2012. Probably conceptualized the year before that, but basically, you know, going into that early parenthood phase of adulthood and realizing that you don't have anywhere to go with your kids in a town that was kind of a beer desert. And a few of them are familiar with, you know, California beer scene, Colorado, you know, other areas of the country. And so they had the idea to start Pine House, which is more of a, you know, family-friendly, welcoming brew pub. And, you know, I know from the beginning it was only to build a single brew pub that was successful, and then it snowballed from there. And 12 years later, we have 4 facilities and more employees than I want to count. And
so snowballed in a good way.
Oh, it's
very positive way.
It's been great. And
clarify.
I think I can talk for Tom here too. Where it's like I got in the industry because I wanted to be a brewer, and I liked making beer. I like the idea of craft beer in the United States and everything that comes with it, manufacturing. You know, the innovation that comes along with it in the U.S. And that's what really got me excited. And then, you know, a decade later, I haven't been on Brewdeck in a while. I sit at my computer all day.
Doing all the important stuff that people don't realize needs to get done, yeah. You know?
It's called maturation.
Yeah, totally.
But at the same time, I still like our beer just as much, maybe even more.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's never died. You know, our jobs have just changed and we got a little older, but you know, 12 years ago is when we started. We had one little brew pub. First year we did about 600 barrels. 3 years later we opened our second facility. which brought us up to about 4,000 barrels. And then we opened our third facility 3 years later, and that brought us to where we're at then, Tom.
It's a lot of math.
I was trying.
Whatever.
A lot of barrels.
Yeah, yeah.
12 years later, we're at 23,000 barrels, four facilities, a lot of breweries, a packaging line, a fancy keg washer.
Yeah.
Full-time raw material transfer percentage. It's a mess now.
So it all started with the idea of needed a place to take your families and have kids. So nothing spells family friendly and kids are welcome than Skull and Crossbones. So the logo. So where did that come from?
I mean, it was a joke, I think. That's what I told y'all earlier, so I'm gonna stick with it. You need a theme if you're gonna have a customer-facing space. So our theme was nautical, based off the whole idea of the fallen cask and the, you know, inception of the IPA and everything like that. So it was nautical. And then with that, it's like, well, if we're nautical, we need a pirate flag. And then somebody made a pirate flag as, I think, a joke, and then it just stuck.
But I was saying, as we were talking about it, it is a great logo because it's simple, but it's kind of iconic in terms of when you see it, you know what it is. So it's a really cool logo.
Everybody recognizes
it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Very simple.
Whether it started as a joke or not, it's like you nailed it. And so it's actually one of my favorite logos of all breweries.
Yeah.
Just because how simple and iconic it is.
And so for our listeners who are out, have not been to Texas, you come to Texas and you're going to see these guys, Electric Jellyfish, everywhere.
Oh, I have one.
There
I'm open.
So I think it's a great success, American success story. Mm-hmm. So just real quickly, tell us the story of Electric Jellyfish.
We actually went over this over the weekend because we had our first Jellyfish Day, which, shout out to Bob at Highland Park with Timbo Days. We thought, you know, much like him, we should have our focus on our flagship brand and what's really made us successful on the beer side, and that's Jellyfish. And it's iconic with Austin, and it pays the bills around here, and it needs a little more focus on it. So we had our first Jellyfish Day on Saturday. Tom, myself, and Joe hosted a guided flight and kind of all-encompassing panel of whatever we felt like talking about, and it went really well. And, you know, post-pandemic, I think it's been a while since we've done anything like that, and I think we all forget how enjoyable it can be to just sit down and, you know, kind of open ourselves up and talk about everything. But Jellyfish started in 2015 with our second location. The name Electric Jellyfish came from a joke in The Life Aquatic, which we leaned into in the early days as a lot of name references. But our flagship IPA at the original location was Manowar. In that movie, there's a scene on the beach at night, and they're talking about and I'm going to say this wrong because I don't remember it exactly, but basically it's them talking on the beach about, oh, are those Manowar? It's like, no, those are Electric Jellyfish. It's like that kind of bounced off, and originally we wanted, you know, different beers at each location, and nothing was going to be the same, and it was a fun idea, and it didn't really work out, and now we have Jellyfish everywhere. But really we did it to kind of follow suit with that, and it was kind of a name play and to differentiate our second location from our first. And then from there, you know, it was right as hazy IPAs were getting extremely popular, New England IPAs, and we were struggling with turbidity, and, you know, as we've learned now, it had a lot to do with the hops we were using, even though we don't use a hazy IPA yeast. And one thing led to another, and we just leaned into it, and it kind of took off. And then, you know, as natural kind of progression goes, we decided to open up to distributors. We get into some festivals around here because of the legalities, we need a distributor for it. And so we did that, and we're like, well, we got a couple extra kegs, why don't you guys try and sell them? And then, you know, snowball effect, and very rapidly it turned into a huge problem. And
a good problem.
And yeah, there's, I'm not complaining.
More snowballing. Yeah.
But, you know, it hits a point where you're manually stacking kegs five high.
Trying to keep up with the man.
You're building pallets in the parking lot for your distributor by hand. And it was, I mean, it's still.
You quickly realize that you need to create a better system than what you have.
Bigger facilities, you need more people, you need a forklift.
All right, so we got listeners outside of Texas that want to try to light a Jellyfish. How can they get it?
They got to come to Texas. We really only distribute in the greater three counties, Hayes, Wilco, and Travis, and then we send a little bit of beer down to San Antonio. So That's really the only chance.
So, in other words, they should come to a festival.
Like, yeah, absolutely. You know, nice enough, the California brewers tend to kind of bring us out every once in a while. Oh, so it's a lot of fun. We'll be out in Lagerville in 2 weeks from now. I don't know when the date stamp is on this episode, but it should be a lot of fun out there. But,
and then,
yeah.
But we'll be at the Firestone Walker Invitational if there's any tickets left for that out in June 1st.
June 1st. Yeah, always a blast.
We'll be out there.
And like I said, you've been at Bergen, anniversary party for those that are our listeners close.
January. And then maybe I'll ask Tom about this. Is there a reason we haven't collaborated?
Yeah, that was my bad. With Bergen.
Bergen, that was the question
I asked. Asked me, and I'm like,
We'd love to. If y'all are listening, we're down, man. Yeah. I think we just haven't found the time, you know? Yeah. So it was such a short trip, and things just
kind of Anthony and them are super busy, and I think we follow suit where it's like, I don't think it's a matter of
I always respect the hell out of
it's not a matter of if, it's probably when. At some point, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I think Jeff could put a Google.
So, and then from Electric Jellyfish, I think what was interesting, you were making, we were talking about it in terms of it is the top selling beer in Austin, basically craft beer in Austin, which is pretty impressive.
I can make up numbers. I can spout numbers that I think I've heard. Or
we wouldn't be able to verify.
It's definitely become synonymous with Austin as far as craft beer goes.
It is everywhere.
There's even running jokes in our soccer team, you know, Austin FC. Why the hell is Jellyfish $18 and it's just like, but that's what people still want it, you know, people are still doing it. We have no control over what that number looks like, you know, at the end of the day, but just kind of to that point, it's just like people still like seek us out and we're in the stadium, still willing to pay that $18 for a can, which we're stoked about. It doesn't go to our pockets, you know, it goes into the distributors.
No, it goes to the venue.
Yes, the venue.
Distributors aren't the problem.
I'm not blaming.
And then I would say, I mean, obviously we're highlighting your IPA because it's your big beer there, but pretty extensive board out there. A little bit of everything. A lot of lagers, a lot of pilsners for people like a little lighter. And we were actually talking about, you got a rice lager coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, we got our rice lager, which Tom can talk about. But yeah, really our big focus is, I mean, this is since our inception is, we're hop heads, but being in Texas, you need to brew to the weather. And unfortunately it's hot here all the time. So our IPAs are a little lighter, a little easier on the IBUs, a little lower ABV, typically some of them are not. But I mean, the whole thing is like, we want to make IPAs that are drinkable in Texas year round, and we don't want you to come in and have one beer and go home. We want you to come in and stay all afternoon. So whatever we can do to facilitate that is great. And then, you know, part of bringing Tom and a lot of other people who have come after him is, they come with other experience from some really great breweries, and we've been able to really build out our lager program. And then, you know, with some more recent law changes, we've been able to brew lower ABV. So now we're able to do some 4.5% lagers and rice lagers, and we're able to drop it down a little bit. I think everyone's happy about it. We claim, or supposedly we have some brewers on staff that don't like IPAs, but I'm just pretending not to hear it.
They're coming around.
I know, for me, I have the Mexican lager, which is fantastic. I love Mexican lagers. This is as good as the Mexican lagers you can get. It is fantastic. And then I also have the dark Kolsch, I think.
The Tamale?
Yeah. That is a great beer,
Sweet
too.
Shadows.
Oh, my gosh. What a...
I'm not a dark beer guy, or necessarily...
Just roasted, got a little bit
of roasting. Yeah, but one of those that's like, that beer I've been going to about every other day.
Yeah, it is fantastic. Because it's got a lot of great flavor profile in terms of the roastiness, the toasting, but it's still drinks very clean and crisp.
Are you judging a World Beer Fit by any chance?
But if I could, I'll put in a good word for you guys, because you guys should get it. So,
I think it's always what speaks to that, like to Jacob's point. It's like our beers... We brew regionally, right? It's like these beers maybe don't always work in, you know, California or other regions, but they work for like our time and place. It's like they're a little drier, they're a little snappier, they're a little crisper, you know, than the thick boys that are out there.
They would work in California very well. And I think one of the things we've noticed in the evolution, I was talking about that when we were doing the tour, is that, you know, you still go to breweries, obviously IPAs rule the day, right? I mean, I think that's what, for a lot of people, IPAs keep the lights on. But you see that diversity in a board, and you have to have that. And I think you guys got it right there. You could fit in real easy, and because there's something for everybody.
I mean, we got a lot of fermenters.
Yeah. No, but it's very cool. It's very, very impressive.
I like that you use the word diversity in offerings, because overall production is probably 90% IPA here.
Yeah.
But it's impressive that I have the draft off with diversity.
Yeah, it's impressive though that you've got probably 15 beers out there on your draft list. And so considering like you showed us all of these tanks are rooting jellyfish and these whatever handful over here, you know, so that's pretty impressive.
We're also lucky enough with you know, our specific situation that we're able to bring in beers from the other locations to kind of buffer it up. So, I mean, ideally, and this is part of my job, it's like, I love 16 to 24 beers at a time on all of our tap holes. Right. And it all varies a little bit, and there's some pub differences, and there's certain things that only are here, and certain things are only over there. And it's not as diverse as we initially had hoped for, you know, a decade ago. But I think we've done a good job of kind of managing it and kind of keeping it separated. And, you know, we've got locals that go to, you know, specific pubs because that's location. What they got. And they've got their beers there that only are there. And we try to keep a little bit of locality.
Yeah. We don't have like location specific like styles that we do, but you know, we have like Lamar likes to focus a little bit on Belgian beers, right. You know, it's like there's a clientele around it that still like hits on it, you know, and like, wow. Burning Pub was a little bit of a lager. Every place is a lager game at this point in Texas, you know? So it's trying to figure out the right mix for the right location, and it's all hyper-localization. It's like this one pub has this like kind of cult following for our Belgian beers, which is great. So we're going to lean into that a little bit.
Our Far Out pub in the suburbs, which is our draft facility, the clientele there loves the lightest lager we can make and double IPAs.
That's interesting. Yeah, that was funny. So, but then you also, we were talking to, I can't remember his name there. It wasn't Joe, but it was the other guy, gentleman who runs your R&D facility.
Oh, Trevor.
Trevor. So you still, and you also have that as well. So you're still kind of pushing and what do you want to say? Kind of pushing the limits a little bit or figuring out, what's the next step? What's the next thing you can do?
I think that's a big part of, you know, with our legal limitations in Texas is, for the foreseeable future, we're maxed out on volume. So what do you do when you get to that point? You try and work on efficiencies and quality and innovation and a bunch of that stuff. So, I mean, that's part of this restructuring this year is, you know, the build out of our sensory program and consistency across brands. And, you know, something like Jellyfish for us, where it's too big to not brew it at every location. So we brew Jellyfish at all four locations. We brew Jellyfish into three different size fermenters. And so between the four locations and the three different size fermenters.
Yeah, four different sizes, yeah.
Four different sizes. So we have, I think, seven different recipes for one beer.
Just by necessity at the end of the day. It's like not everything ferments in the same way, given tank geometries, which these guys like to give me crap about all the time. But, you know, there's a lot of battles when you have so many tanks and trying to mimic the same flavor profile at the end of the day. So it took a lot of flavor matching. We do a thing called the Jellyfish Cup, where every quarter we do a sampling, and it's basically our sensory technician goes around, grabs samples of whatever Jellyfish is on tap at that time, brings it back here, sets up a schedule, and then we do a blind tasting of like our administrative team, our managers, our bartenders,
some past employees,
and past employees sometimes, and basically just do like a hedonic, like what do you like in the sampling?
Rank it 1 through 4.
Quality control. Where Jellyfish is on tap, like where in the city? Like
each one of our locations. Okay. Right. So it's all brewed on site. So it's all from our taps, right? So the idea is that, you know, we have four different brew systems. There's a lot of variability. Yeah. It helped us kind of hone our process a little bit early on as we were kind of starting to like, okay, we have beer in package, in kegs, cans, and so on, and draft all over the place. We need to make sure it's wholly represented everywhere.
We have four different breweries. We have three different water tables. None of it makes sense.
Just trying to get some consistency, some continuity, some quality.
And it really, like, from the first Jellyfish Cup to where we are now, the first Jellyfish Cup, it was, I'll say, a little bit of a disaster at that point, you know? It was messy, but, you know, it helped us kind of get back on track and really kind of, the last several Jellyfish Cups at this point over the last year and a half have been tighter and tighter every time. And,
nice.
It's been a really fun process to kind of see it come together. You know, the Jellyfish Cup. And so, yeah, the winners also get a little buy-in because they get a $1,000 plus breaking rights against every other brewery, right?
So, I mean, I think that's a big part where it's like, it's not just us telling...
competition.
Yeah, not just us telling people that they need to make the best jellyfish. It's us being like, no, if you make the best jellyfish... You get to run your mouth for 3 months, and we're going to give you $1,000 cash.
What's competition is good. Yeah. Competition is a good
thing. It's fun. It's the running the mouth.
That's actually, I think, why people actually end up doing it. We have so much buy-in at that point.
Well, I mean, a little inside story. So we announced this on Friday at our all-hands meeting, and the guy that won was running his mouth a little too much, and we rolled the check out to him and Underberg truck full of Underbergs. And one of our other guys was like, he was running his mouth too much, so I stole it. So it's like we spent 5 days looking for where the truck went,
That's funny.
It's one of those, it's like it's a little bit of, you know, cat that's and mouse. Cool. And I think it creates healthy competition between our locations. So we have guys, they steal stuff from each other and take it to the other breweries and hide it.
As long as they're not sabotaging. No sabotage. It's all friendly.
Yeah, good
natured
brothers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or is it one of those, like, where the hell did all my tri-clamps go?
Can't do the transfer today, can you?
Whatever you can tell. What's next for Pine House?
If we didn't cover this already, like this year without being able to grow, like we're really working on quality and really honing in on where we can go. Our intent is to grow, and you know that's to expand opportunities for our own people and kind of help expand craft beer in Central Texas as far as we can go. I can't say specifically where we're going because I don't know. Right. I'm not part of the ownership group that makes those decisions.
Yeah.
But, we'll be on the outer rim of Austin in one way or the other, and most likely in one of our other distribution markets, which has already been named. It's not Austin. But we don't know until that happens. Yeah. We don't know where those locations are. So best case scenario, we're still 2 years out from right now.
But the plan is to continue to grow. Yeah. I mean, obviously, product's fantastic. People love it.
There ain't no quit.
There's no quit.
We got owners in Encinitas.
Yeah, you do have Encinitas.
We are with Lion Ventures in California. We do refer to one of their garages as the Encinitas Tap Room.
Nice.
So if you can figure out what its address is,
then we might have to. One of our New Year's resolution this year was support local and help local. So Encinitas is pretty local. So Pine House is local for us. If you're a San Diego brewery,
one way or another.
Yeah, you drink Pine House, you're drinking local. So
I'll get his address.
I'll give you his first and last name after.
We can probably do the work on it. So,
but it sounds like we've talked about the beer. We've talked about visiting, and my next question was going to be, what's the best part about working here? But you're already talking about. It sounds like a great place to work as well.
I think it's a good environment. I think it's a friendly competition. Stoking fires, pushing creativity, not trying to limit people from really taking an opportunity and running with it, And, I think always trying to find the right people for the right place, sometimes personality hire, a little bit, And it's like, you can have a lot of experience and it may not be the right fit. We find a lot of people that are the right fit by personality for what we want to do at the end of the day, and we surround ourselves with our friends,
Nice.
And it feels good,
I think another thing to bring up from this is like we're still independently owned, and our ownership group is kind enough to basically let us do what we want, and we don't get oversight in the realm of, hey, this beer is too expensive, or we didn't make enough profit on this brand, or things are straight in the wrong way. And it's like, we're conscious of it, and we're business focused, but at the same time, like, we're being left to manage that on our own, and it's really been great to have that kind of freedom to be like, hey, we trust you guys, things are going well, things are continuing to go well, you guys do what you need.
Not micromanaged.
It's a really fun and opening environment. I think we're really privileged to be lucky enough to work for the people we work for, for that reason.
You even talked about work-life balance. That's a you know, point of thing, trying to be closed on the weekend. So you're done at, you know, and
we got people checking in over the weekends. Yeah. We got people that have trouble staying out of here. And
beer never sleeps, you know.
That is very true.
Well, you get thirsty.
Tom,
I get anxious. I want to see what these things are tasting like.
Yeah, Tom's in one of the breweries. You know, 7 days a week.
That's exactly what I refer to him as, my beer bay.
I'm regularly in here with my 5-year-old off hours. He may or may not have driven the forklift.
Allegedly.
OSHA's definitely not listening.
Allegedly. He may not have run into something.
Yeah,
allegedly. But that's very cool.
Yeah, it's a fun. It's family oriented. I feel like everyone that works with us and that we work for, it's really friendly environment and has a lot of positivity with it. And I think that's what drives a lot of what we do now. Is, you know, it's like, it's not quality, it's not experience, it's, you know, quality drives everything, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, it's well said. It was well said, though.
Okay, cool.
And it shows shows out in, you know, the servers and
everywhere.
You know, the whole
food is great. We didn't even get talk about the food. The food's fantastic here as well. Yeah. So,
thank you.
Food is really good today.
Yeah, great.
So, Jacob, Tom, Pine House Brewing, thank you for spending your time with us. Tell us your story, sharing your beer. Yeah. Appreciate you. Listeners, thank you for spending the time with us. Remember, just a moment. Rate us, review us, wherever you get our podcast. Check us out on Instagram, and you see pictures from the trip. Visit our website, ilikebeerthepodcast.com. We'd love to keep drinking, but right now, we got to run.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5, or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.